Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, as we are nearing the end of our series on loving one another deeply, this morning we're going to be looking at ministering to one another. And that's a concept that we probably have a good grid for. We probably even do pretty well. But I don't know that we think about it that much, at least in the day-to-day side of things. I think that a lot of times when we think of that word ministry, you know, those that have been super connected with the prayer room, we think about ministering to the Lord. I think for those of us that have been in church for a good long while, when we think of ministry, we think of like a ministry of the church, the outreach ministry, the worship team. You know, we think of those kinds of things. I don't know that we normally think of the word ministry in relationship to every individual that loves Jesus and the way that we interact with each other as ministry. But there's a significant case to be made that that's actually the primary expression of ministry in the New Testament in relationship to the way we minister to each other. The primary in Old and New, the word usage of ministry is that we would minister to God. But when we start going from vertical to horizontal, I think most of the times when we think the word ministry, we think a group of people that's organized together that's doing something. And that's definitely ministry. But that we would start to think about even the ways that we interact with each other on the day-to-day. So let's look now at Galatians 6, 9 through 10. And let's see here what Paul has to say about this. Wide range of ways that we interact with one another that we can consider ministry. I would even go as far as to say intentionally benefiting one another. Including blessing one another, helping one another, serving one another, all a variety of ways that we can use this word ministry in our day-to-day context. Let's see what Paul said in Galatians 6. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So Paul here, he starts off with this statement, let us not be weary in well-doing, or not become weary in doing good. But he doesn't mean like be a do-gooder. He's not talking about like just have a moral compass. He's talking specifically about the way that we would interact with each other. And he says, don't get weary of doing nice things for each other. Don't weary in that. Instead, continue to do that. Press into that. And he says, if you do, at the proper time, you'll actually reap a harvest if you don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. So I want us to think about that as this ministry context. Is not just that we're doing stuff, but what we're doing, the good that we're doing, is actually ministering to another person, and that we would not grow weary in it. Let us do good to all people, especially to the family of believers. So just think about what Paul's after in this. So he's writing Galatians, or to the Galatians, and he's got an objective, and that is to get the Galatian church to be ministering to one another on the daily, to be thinking about each other, to be helping one another, and to be looking for opportunities to do good. Think about what that looks like in our context. So we've got people that know each other in this room. We've got small groups. But Paul's exhortation is continually be thinking about ways that you can do good for the people that are in the church that are with you. Be continually thinking of ways that you can minister, of ways that you can help one another, of ways that you can serve one another. Do not grow weary in doing good. And of course, that's the hard part, isn't it? It's easy to do good. It's easy to minister to somebody, to help a person, to show favor to someone, to do somebody a solid. It's easy to do that once or twice or however many times. but it's the don't grow weary in it, that we would continue on in that way. And then Paul even connects this back to eternal rewards. He says it's tied to love. It says you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. There, the Lord sees what you're doing, and he will reward you. There are times where when we're in ministry together that we've got to continue to press through. We've got to find ways to be able to press past our, you know, whatever weakness, whatever fatigue, whatever familiarity, and continue to minister because the Lord says you will reap a reward if you do not give up. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says this, help the weak. We urge you, help the weak. This idea of helping weak people, I mean, when we think of the most extreme example, we're probably thinking about somebody that's like, maybe, you know, they're bedridden, and there's so much that they can't do, and there's so much that they need. But as I started to just really think about weakness, I think about that's the most extreme example, and it's the rarest, is when somebody is unable to do much of anything. And so, yes, of course it applies there. But what about the person that's not able to do something because of a certain circumstance that's temporary? What about, let's go one more layer, what about the person that's strong in 10 areas but weak in one area? Help the weak. This idea of ministering to one another, being able to identify one another's weaknesses, not for exploitation, but for ministry. To be able to know where you or I are weak in order to be able to come alongside and be a help. Help the weak. I mean, when I think about that term ministry in the day-to-day context, I think that's it. It's when you are weak, we'll be strong with you and we'll help you. Whether that weakness is circumstantial, whether that weakness is something that it's just your lot in life that was just totally unfortunate, or whether that weakness is an area, some area of your life that is really particularly weak, and it is not a depiction of who you are, it's not a depiction of, you know, what the rest of your life even looks like, but it's an area of your life that we would come alongside and help one another. This concept of ministering to one another, taking responsibility to minister to one another, that's a pretty cool common church practice. It's one that I think even this series is probably helped to bring to the surface a little bit. I think this series has probably helped us to see that a little bit more. I don't think we were bad at it, particularly to begin with, but it's something that we want to continue to reach for, and that the Lord would give us grace to let this be the new normal, that we would be a people that are trying to minister to one another. Now, some of the concepts that we're looking at in this session, they're repeat concepts, but I want us today to be thinking about them in terms of, like, what would it look like for this to be one of the ways that you begin to think of yourself as a minister in this congregation, using these different gifts and talents and strengths and opportunities as a way to minister, to change our thought process. Instead of it just being, hey, this I'm going to try to be a better team player, or I'm going to try to be a more active member of the church, what if the thought process was, this is actually part of my ministry? Part of my ministry is that in this church context, I'm reaching for ways to minister in these areas because I know that it strengthens people in our church. I know that it builds people up. And the Lord says, if I don't grow weary in it, I will reap a harvest if I don't quit, if I keep going. So let's look at a few of these. Teaching one another. Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach one another. A lot of times we think of the ministry of teaching just as platform or microphone. There's so much teaching that's supposed to be happening amongst ourselves, and it's a two-way thing. I think part of the reason that teaching doesn't happen as much in our conversations is because we've got pride on both sides. We've got a pride that doesn't want to hear what the other person has to say, and we've got a pride that says, I'm not sure that they're going to want to hear what I have to say. But there's times where, like, we can teach one another, and that is great ministry. There's moments, there's things that you know that I need. There's things that we have. There's life experiences. There's experiences in Christ. There's Bible verses that we're aware of that have marked us. There's testimonies that we have that we're to be able to use as part of our ministry to one another. Author of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 10:24, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love." One of the ways that we minister to one another is we think about, let us consider how we can spur one another on to love Jesus more. How we can provoke one another. I mean, I'm just kind of asking the question. You don't need to answer, but just think about it. When was the last time you thought for a while, you sat down and thought about how you could spur others on to love Jesus more? And maybe not just in a general concept of like anybody. You're thinking about, Lord, how could I get this person to love Jesus more? What could I do to spur this one on? What could I do to fan into flame their love for Jesus? But what a great ministry that we would be about the business of provoking one another to love Jesus more, to spur one another on with words, with deeds, whatever it is that it would be that would be helpful to help another person to pursue Jesus in a greater measure. I don't know that there's too many ministries better than that. That we would be thinking about that. You don't have to have a microphone. It could be your friend, it could be your neighbor, your spouse, somebody in your small group, it could be one of your kids, to spur them on. Oh God, let us consider how we might spur one another on towards love. Well, the second part of that verse is, and good deeds. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward good deeds. So now it's not just that we would love God more, but now, Lord, how could I be used of you to get other people thinking more about ministering to each other? Those good deeds that we read about in Galatians 6, that very clear that they're aimed at people. They're aimed at the family of believers all the more. Thinking about this, like using what we have in Christ, using our experience, using what we know from the Word, using whatever, you know, testimony we got that morning. This is something Luke Cooper does so well. He's in the Word all the time, and you know it because when he's talking to you, he's telling you about what he read that morning, and he's trying to spur you on towards whatever it is that the passage was after. That's something I just love about you, Luke. And you've done that so consistently for so long. But that's one of the ways that we can use our experience, we can use our day-to-day, our conversations to try to provoke one another into greater measure of ministry. This morning, as we spent time in worship, I was reminded of the feeling of it. I was reminded of the teaching because I've been getting ready for this message. But I was reminded of the feeling of what it looks like when Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19 are in operation. If we can get those verses up there, it's Colossians 3:16. Thank you. This is what happens when we sing to one another. You know, when I first started looking at this verse, I thought it was kind of confusing until I realized it's actually as simple as it gets. I've made it confusing, and maybe many of us have. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Again, Ephesians 5. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. The part that was always confusing to me, and I don't know if this was for you or if maybe I just overly complicated it, I thought what this was supposed to look like was we were supposed to like look each other deep in the eyes and then sing a song to somebody. And that's not it at all, because the focus isn't that we're singing to each other. The focus is that we're singing to God together. That's the focus. And so you see it. It's like singing to God with a grateful heart. And there it is again at the end. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. So what's happening here is the ministry of worship. For those of you who have got, you know, you can sing, you can play an instrument, you have an incredible part, maybe even more in our context than most contexts, because we've got the opportunity 22 hours a day, 7 days a week, to have worship as a part of our experience together. But This is what I believe Paul's trying to communicate here. Songs aren't going to be sung unless there's singers singing them. But when singers sing, the climate, the atmosphere changes. It shifts. When we were together this morning in worship, the atmosphere of the room was different than it is right now while one dude's up here preaching. We were singing to one another. I'm singing, I'm hearing your voice, and your voice is inspiring me. It's encouraging me. There's another person that loves Jesus right next to me, and they're singing to the same God that I'm singing to. And so we're singing together, and it's this these songs and hymns, and even when I, you know, pulled out, it was a half fail. You can't win them all. But the half fail on Psalm 136 this morning, it's like even when I pulled out that passage, it's like we're digging into the word, we're singing songs to one another. And as we're doing that, there's mutual edification that's occurring. This concept of worshiping together, of singing songs together to God, is a ministry to one another. I mean, just think for a second about the baseline reality of what you experience in the car singing alone to Jesus as one of your favorite songs is on the radio. And what you experience in a room full of people that are pressing in worship is a completely different experience. I mean, it's of the same sort, but it's a different level of reality. That's us ministering to one another. It's a value that we would prioritize coming together and ministering in that way. And so I just want to thank all of you that serve over at the prayer room in any of the musical capacities. I mean, I'd thank a different group for a different day for all the prayer side. But the musical side, what you help facilitate, what you give those that come in the room, what you give me, is an incredible reality. You are ministering to me by providing an environment where Jesus is lifted up and songs are being sung. And as you sing, as you lead it from the room, I can sing with you, either in my spirit or out loud. And I'm edified and I'm built up. It's a beautiful ministry that we get to do to the Lord and to each other. And then, of course, the ministry of encouragement. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. 1 Thessalonians 4. And we urge you, encourage the disheartened. We live in a world that is so filled with negativity, and it's constantly depleting, it's constantly pulling on us. Sometimes we're not even aware of the degree that it's happening until we get totally, like, we're running on fumes. Part of the ministry of the church, a significant part of your ministry as an individual that loves the Lord, is the ministry of encouragement. Let us not give up doing it. The more that we can encourage one another, that encouragement, it just takes a little bit of reach. It takes just a little bit of effort. That encouragement could be about character. It could be about something you saw. It could be about something you see in them, a budding virtue. It could be a way they handled a circumstance last week. It could be a way that you see them interacting with their kids. When we encourage one another, we are ministering to each other because there are constantly positives and negatives that are working towards our balance. There's constantly little negatives that are touching us. Little side glances, long stoplights. I think long stoplights might be the devil. And they take away from us. But as we interact with each other, we've got opportunity to fill that bucket up. And that's actually a significant part of the day-to-day ministry of the church, that we're not to grow weary in well-doing. Sometimes you might be like, I don't really have anything encouraging to say. Just try to come up with one thing and say it to one person. To be encouraging as a regular reality is such a lifter of the spirits of the people of God. It's so important. Encourage one another daily. What if that was just another one of those kind of basic principles? What if every believer, every person in our church was encouraging to at least one person every single day in our church? A text message, you see them in traffic and you yell at them. I don't know, you do you. I like to yell at people in traffic. It's like my favorite way to encourage you, okay? Sometimes people get a little freaked out, don't know it's me. Sometimes people do know it's me and get a little freaked out. But to encourage one another, what if that was the thought process of like, I've got to let this be part of my daily reality, because truth of the matter is all of us are getting those negative points every day, but not necessarily the positive, but we can minister to one another. This is part of the way that we express true Christianity. It's part of the way that we love one another, is that we would take on the ministry of encouragement and we'd pour into each other. Ephesians 6:18 says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. Always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people, all the believers. This is one of the most practical ways, I would partner it with encouragement, because it's such an easy gimme, that we would pray for each other. And I'll just tell you this, I think there's two ways that we want to focus on prayer, and a third that certainly has value, but it sidesteps one of the significant, important parts of praying for one another. So I'm going to give you three examples of prayer. The person's right in front of you, and you pray for them right then. One. The person is, you go, they're in your small group, whatever, and you've been praying for them that week, and you tell them, I prayed for you this week. I prayed for you on Tuesday night. And three, somebody in your small group, you pray for them and you don't tell them. Now, some of you might go, well, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, share all my stuff with everybody. Listen, I'll tell you right now, I am more encouraged by hearing you say you prayed for me than whatever actually happened when you prayed for me, because I don't know what that was. You sidestep a very important piece of prayer when the person doesn't know you're praying for them. Like, tell each other. Either do it right there in the moment, or, you know, you were just praying for somebody, shoot them a text. Hey, just got done praying for you. That's so encouraging. That is so helpful. Like, I don't know if their prayer is going to fix me or not. I got a lot of work to do. It's probably not going to happen, not overnight. But I'm sure glad they were praying for me to know that they were in my court, they were on my side. The ministry of prayer to one another is a powerful way that we can interact and help one another. It's just the daily rhythms of our lives together in the Spirit. James says, pray for each other so that you may be healed. There are so many testimonies. I don't mean every single person every single time. We don't have that happening yet. But there are so many testimonies of people in this church that got prayed for by somebody in this church, and then they're better. Why? Because the Lord says he'll honor prayer. What he doesn't tell us, what he doesn't promise us, is that everything will be instant. And even this is another aspect of real ministry to one another. You pray for the person and they don't get healed. So what do? You pray for them again. And you pray for them again. And you pray for them again. And you suffer with them. You long suffer with them even in that. That is an incredible ministry to one another in the journey, even before the final outcome of healing. Like, it is such a way that we can walk with each other and hold each other and minister to one another in the journey, is that we pray for one another, especially in the area of healing, because, man, when something's not right in your body, in your mind, in your emotions, when there's some area that's broken, that's not healed, it is a constant day-to-day pain. It causes great ache. And for us to walk alongside one another and pray for each other as a way to show deep love for real. Here's one for you, James 5 as well, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Some traditions have relegated confession to something that's done between the lay people and the anointed person behind the box. We want to restore the ministry of confession to one another, that we would confess our sins to each other and get free, get healed. That we would confess. But that's a two-way ministry, because one, you got to be willing to say it, and then as the person hearing it, we've got to be like dealing with that in a way that is careful and loving and not judgmental. And it takes real trust for somebody to come and confess their sins. As a result, if that's not a part of culture, everybody's got all their sins all bottled up. It's not like they didn't happen. I mean, it's not like if we don't have a ministry of confession, if we don't have a way that it's socially appropriate for us to talk to one another and confess our sins to each other, it's not like if that's missing, sin is absent. Sin is probably abounding. And it's not getting leaked. It's not getting let out. There's not the healing that's supposed to come by confessing our sins to one another. I just want to encourage you, like, find people that you can be vulnerable with, that you can be comfortable telling your sins to. Yeah, friends, your sin was there anyway. You already had it. But I'll just tell you, if you've got sin and it's not confessed, it may well be a pet sin in the back that's getting watered and getting fed. It is so important to confess our sins, to get it out in the open, to not have those things building up in the backdrop. And it's a ministry to one another. The person you confess to is ministering to you because they are hearing that burden and they're covering you and they're praying for you and they're loving you and they're forgiving you. We can forgive one another. We can forgive one another's sins, not in the salvation sense, but in the very real, a person confesses and we tell them, I forgive you. That's done. That's over. Like, that's beautiful. But that's part of body life. It's part of the way that we would minister to one another. But it's become so taboo that it doesn't get done. And so then we wind up malformed because we're holding on to things we were never supposed to be holding on to. Because James 5:16 is a Bible verse. Confess your sins to each other that you may be healed. Like, this is supposed to be a normal thing that we would confess our sins to each other. Peter talks about using whatever gifts that we have. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. It's pretty cool when you know what gift or gifts of the Holy Spirit you have and you use them on purpose to minister to other people. I want to encourage you, find those gifts. You go, well, I don't have any. Well, pray for some. He'll help you. You actually do. It's just dormant. You don't know it. And if you've got a few gifts, pray for some more. The Lord would actually like for all of us to be super useful to one another. But that utility, that usefulness, it's not enough that we want it, because there's supernatural workings that occur in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that can strengthen us in a way that is so much deeper than whatever kind words we might have for one another that we would just operate out of our natural self. Still valuable. But there's powerful things that we can minister to one another. Again, this morning, I'm getting us trying to think about ourselves as ministers to each other in this church. Not just as people that go to church. Yeah, that's somebody I go to church with. But people that we're in a journey together with, that we have a responsibility and a unique opportunity. Because of the relational proximity, a unique opportunity to minister to one another, to help one another go further in our walk with God. And of course, the preeminent gift of the Holy Spirit that Paul dotes on the most is prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:1 through 3, and then 14:31. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Then Paul says in his continued teaching on this subject of prophecy, he says, you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and may be exhorted. 2 points I just want to make about this. Some of you might go, I don't really have the gift of prophecy. If you have the Holy Spirit, you absolutely have at least the beginnings of the gift of prophecy. You absolutely do. And you can grow in it. And Paul says, all of you can prophesy. And there's a way to do it. It needs to be orderly, one at a time. But all of you can prophesy. And the point that all of you can prophesy is because there's things that the Lord would speak to you that he wouldn't speak to the other person. There's things that the Lord would speak through you that would be a gift and a strength to other people in our church. All of us can prophesy. I want to encourage you, if that's something you're like, man, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. I've not done that much, or I've never really learned to prophesy. Start asking the Lord to give you words for people, and you'll start getting words for people. Might not happen as fast as you want. Might not be the most life-changing, you know, things. You're going to get into a car accident tomorrow. If you get in this car, don't do it. Had people do that to me before. Bernie. Might not be the most dramatic things ever to start with, but the Lord will use you to prophesy. What a great way for us to minister to each other. You can all prophesy. And that we would learn to do that, because when we prophesy, we speak for people's strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. I've got a couple more points, and then we'll close out. Just thinking about this, attending to one another. John 13, 14 gives us a principle that it's okay. I just want to say this. It's okay if you disagree with me on this point. I mean, you can disagree with me about anything. But it's okay if you straight up disagree with where I'm going with this verse. John 13, verse 14. Jesus is talking to the disciples. He says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. Now, here's the part that I just want to point out. In that day, there were no paved roads, and whatever roads there were, donkeys walked down and pooped. And little sheep things and chicken things and dog and leftover trash, and they were dirt roads, and there's mud. Roads were disgusting. And most of the people in that day were wearing open-toed shoes, sandals. So their feet were disgusting. When you walked into somebody's house, it wasn't just a kindness to you. It was a kindness to the person that's trying to keep their house clean, that their feet would be washed. There'd be like a little wash pan. And many of them, if they had, you know, if it was a richer house or whatever, they would actually have people either on the payroll or maybe even slaves in that day that would be washing people's feet. And it was a really gross job. It was gross. It was disgusting. And so Jesus is down on the floor washing their feet, and this is humbling. These guys are like, I don't feel comfortable right now at all. This is gross. I can do this. Just let me wash my own feet. He says, no, I'm going to wash your feet. And his point was, I'm going to serve you in a way that is going to be so hard for you to receive. I'm going to serve you in a way that is so humbling for me. I'm going to serve you in a way that ministers to a real need, that's a real day-to-day temporary need that's gross. We don't wash people's feet in this culture. We can. It has symbolism, but it is not the same. If you wash somebody's feet today, tomorrow, you're doing it in order to connect your heart and spirit to kind of the spirit of this verse, the spirit of this story, but it is not serving the same purpose whatsoever. It is a very different thing. But the concept can remain. What does it look like in 2024 to wash the feet of those around us? To do that thing that nobody would want to do, to go over and above, to minister, to step into somebody's life, into somebody's moment, and to help them in a way that is just really tough, really challenging. You know, an example that comes to mind, and I don't know, I didn't really think a lot about this, honestly, but the example that comes to mind is the other night we were at the prayer room, and we're celebrating Daniel Academy's final moments. We're doing our final celebration. And somebody's car was having problems. And John Stokes spent 3 or 4 hours outside helping this lady with her car. He's getting dirty, you know, muddy, all this stuff. It's like he's there to, you know, be there as a part of the celebration and to kind of enjoy the night. And John is out there getting disgusting. It's hot. It's thankless. He's missing out. He's not in appropriate clothes to be doing the work of, you know, fixing a car situation. I think that's a lot more the spirit of washing one another's feet than if you come over to my house and we have an awkward moment where I wash your feet. I mean, it's like you've probably taken a shower within the last 24 hours. Your feet aren't going to be that gross, no matter how gross they are or what you have growing on them. I just think the real spirit behind what Jesus was doing in that moment really had nothing to do with feet. It had everything to do with going so low to meet a really gross but really real need and doing whatever it took to serve. And I just think, I think about that mentality in our midst of what does it look like to go so low to serve one another's needs. End verse, or end with this verse in Galatians 5:13 through 14. You, my brothers and sisters, you're called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. I just think that's really the gist of the message today. That we would serve one another humbly in love. That's really what ministry looks like. That we would take the opportunities to serve one another humbly. Just that humbly word, just it changes the conversation entirely. To serve one another no matter what it takes. To serve one another despite it not being your favorite thing. To serve one another in a way that is loving. To be humble in love in our service to one another. As we're ministering to one another, as we're learning what that looks like. I just want to end with this. We've said it before in this series. I think the greatest starting point that's one step outside of our comfort zone, for those of you with families, you kind of have this understanding that it starts with your family. But I think one step out of our comfort zone, and we've talked about this before, is our small groups. What if in our small groups, we really endeavored to take care of one another? We really endeavored to do this, to serve one another humbly in love, to help meet the need, to serve where the person's weak. Instead of exploiting that weakness, we look for it so that we can find it and we can meet a need, so we can help each other. Instead of devouring one another, to look at those weaknesses as opportunities to serve one another humbly in love.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.